And we're back live on your number one sports podcast, All Things Sports, Small Town EP here live from Atlanta, Wait Julian live from New York. UConn Huskies go back to back. The NBA playoffs are officially underway. Caitlin Clark goes number one overall in the WNBA draft. And we are back to give you the real in sports, fresh off our college championship break. All right, June, man. We criticized Calipari after his round one exit. We questioned whether it was time for Kentucky and him to part ways. And apparently, he may have agreed. Calipari agrees to part ways. He wasn't fired. He left on his own accord. Agrees to leave Kentucky. Heads over to Arkansas. Will be paid a whopping $37.5 million over 5 years with a $500,000 annual retention bonus. That part is crazy. Yeah. June, yeah. Who benefited most from this deal? Kentucky, Arkansas, or Calipari?
I mean, Coach Cal, probably, because of the fact that it's kind of like he's like that Jimbo Fisher type of coach where, you know, he's going to get whatever he wants out of the situation. He was able to leave on his own accord, like you said, from Kentucky. It wasn't any type of sour situation. And we did speak about this a few weeks ago, and I thought he would stay and, you know, try to continue what he had, you know, already built at UK. But he mentioned, you know, they need a new voice, and things just kind of got redundant, if you will. So I respect him for leaving. To answer the question, yeah, I think Calipari is the beneficiary here because he's getting the money. He gets to, you know, try to build. Obviously, he'll have high expectations, but at the same time, he's not going to have, like, the rushed expectation. I would assume, especially, you know, trying to remember where college basketball is now. You kind of got these guys, AJ mentioned it in the group chat today, on a one-year rental with these NIL deals. You never know what kid is going to find a better deal in another city or state. So kind of that type of idea. College basketball is not necessarily in the best place it could be right now. So if you're a coach like him with a name and value, you're always going to be winning.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I said it when, you know, when we were talking about him exiting in the first round. I mean, I just felt like it was kind of time for them to part ways. Maybe it was his style of coaching. He isn't the same guy that we saw at UMass, you know, when he was coaching the Minutemen. He had a lot of success over there. Or even his earlier years when he was in Kentucky and was having, you know, an abundance of success. It seemed that the more the one and done, you know, players, I guess, wave, if you want to call it, was coming through college basketball, it didn't really benefit. It wasn't really cohesive. It didn't complement. There you go. It didn't complement his style of coaching. You know, we're known for, you know, players being there, you know, 2, 3, 4 years. I'm thinking of like the Willie Cauley-Stein and the Marcus Cousins era, you know, that was damn near a dynasty in college basketball itself. Obviously we have UConn doing that now and clinging, you know, declaring for the draft is, you know, and things like that. But to get back to, you know, Calipari out of Kentucky and into Arkansas, I think everyone benefits from this. I think that Kentucky gets a fresh start, you know, something that they need, like you mentioned, he referenced, they needed a new voice. So Kentucky gets a fresh start. I love the rumors that are coming out of, you know, possible, you know, here and there. And then now they're looking at Pope, or they signed Pope, if I'm not mistaken, from BYU. I was hoping, I love the rumor that was out there that Rajon Rondo would have been the head coach. But, you know, we all know he coaches his little kids. He coaches his little kids basketball team. So I'm sure he's focused, you know, on that. And this kid's kind of nice, too, if I'm not mistaken. The kid got, you know, definitely got that Rajon Rondo in him. And, I mean, Arkansas, they also get a breath of fresh air. I mean, you're getting one of the most decorated coaches in all of the land, and John Calipari. And I mean, his resume honestly speaks for itself. Obviously, the most recent insuccess or unsuccess, however you want to put it, is a little, you know, I guess maybe a small red flag. But I do think that Arkansas gets a fresh start. They get a head coach who knows what he's doing, who can recruit players. The word is that he's actually going to get a couple million more in NIL budget at Arkansas than he had at Kentucky. I believe he's getting like 4 or 5 million versus the like 1.7 million he was getting at Kentucky. So he'll have the, you know, the resources to recruit these players. I mean, again, when you can put kids on the phone with D-Book and, you know, Cousins and, you know, things like that, then I mean, you know, I think this is going to be good for Arkansas.
Drake,
you know, and
doing OVO photo shoots.
I could hear the Drake bars, the Drake Arkansas Razorback bars soon. Come soon. I think for Calipari, I think everybody wins. For Calipari, it's obviously he was in a stressful situation. He was constantly being scrutinized, under scrutiny, under the microscope at Kentucky. I'm not saying that Arkansas definitely isn't as big of a school as Kentucky is, but you're still in the SEC, and you may not be under such a fine tooth, you know, comb as you were in Kentucky. So maybe, you know, he can breathe a little bit. I think everybody benefits at the end of the day. I don't know if you have anything else on Calipari to Arkansas.
No, I mean, I guess final thoughts would be like interested to see how it goes, because there was a time where Kentucky wasn't the best and it became the best. But times have changed, as I mentioned, man. And it's just, how can he benefit in this day and age being as good of a recruiter as he is? We saw guys like DJ Wagner, you know, enter the transfer portal. He was Calipari's guy. And, Calipari is known for putting product in the NBA. You know, we've mentioned the guys, Tyrese Maxey, Willie Cauley-Stein, Karl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, but that took time. And it wasn't, you know, this one and done age where guys were just really just coming into the season prepared to leave. Obviously he had some of those guys, but where he made his name, Derrick Rose, Rajon Rondo, Anthony Davis, you know, these are guys that played some time for him and really got to learn the game and be coached under great development. So Arkansas, if they're going to get the top recruits now, you know, they're still going to have their one and dones, but if they are right now going to still be getting these guys who are going to be 2-year, 3-year players, you might start to see a lot of beneficial success from the players and the school. So
I'm trying to see when or if Arkansas plays Kentucky next year, because that would
I'll figure that out.
Yeah, I don't think those details are available yet. Schedule's not out yet. But when they do, I'm going to have that circled.
Right.
Shit, we might have to fly to wherever that is. And because that's going to be something to see how much, you know, how cool would it that be is. For him to play Kentucky, and maybe, you know, who knows, possibly stick it to Kentucky, like, hey, I'm over here and we still getting dubs, right? Caitlin Clark, man, I switch over to the WNBA. Caitlin Clark does go number one overall to the Indiana Fever. Whew. Cameron Brink goes to my personal favorite, Camilla Cardozo. Don't ask me why she's my personal favorite. She just is. Don't ask me why. She just is. Goes 3 to the Chicago Sky. I mean, this draft class this year is stacked, man. What do you think that we should expect from this upcoming WNBA season with this incoming class?
Excitement. I think excitement is probably the biggest way to put it, because you mentioned Caitlin Clark, first of all, being the most exciting, prolific player in women's college basketball history, one of the more exciting college basketball athletes, men or women. What she's able to do and how she's able to produce and score and fill up an arena and have everybody paying, you know, top dollar and using either both of their eyes or all four of their eyes to focus in on what she's going to do that night, it's captivating. And you got girls like Camilla Cardozo, who you mentioned, who's going to be teamed up with Angel Reese in Chicago. Are you kidding me? I mean, what? Chicago at 3-7 got steals. They've got two big bullies who are ready to just, you know, well-coached players, humble players, hungry girls that are going to hopefully take this league by storm. So I'll be paying attention to Chicago. Rakia Jackson at 4, you know, going to Jesus, 4. LA. And then Aaliyah Edwards going to DC
LA.
From UConn. So I do like that Aaliyah Edwards pickup as well. I just think it comes down to excitement. We watched women's college basketball these last 2 years, obviously because of the headliners, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, which was overshadowed or which was overshadowing South Carolina and what Dawn Staley was able to do and how she was able to get five new girls in that starting lineup and, you know, go undefeated. So right now for women's basketball on both levels, professionally and at the collegiate level, it's very exciting. Last season in the WNBA was pretty exciting for me. I became a New York Liberty fan as I moved
to New York
and was able to experience a game in person, a playoff game at that. So, you know, very exciting times that the WNBA is headed for. Hopefully it can become a more lucrative league and players can get, you know, bigger bags. Caitlin Clark's check or first contract is 4 years, just over like $330,000, which we could sit here and act like that's not a lot of money. That's a shit ton of money to me. But, you know, obviously in the grand scheme of things, the way the money revolves around this world, it's not the price point that you would expect a girl like Caitlin Clark to come in this league and make. She'll make her money with endorsements and all of that, but hopefully she can be one of the pioneers that, you know, really, really start to generate more revenue in this business, because I'll tell you, those girls put up a good show. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I actually want to go back to the Chicago Sky, because I know you referenced that Cardozo and Camila Cardozo and Angel Reese will be playing together in Chicago. First pick of the second round, Chicago selects Brina Maxwell from Gonzaga. Now, they go with size and rebounding for their first two picks, they being Chicago Sky. And then they get this pure shooter in Brina Maxwell, who spent 5 years in college, three at Utah, two at Gonzaga. Her three-point range is, I mean, it's almost undeniable. Her accuracy did drop a little bit from her fourth year to her fifth year, 48% to 44%. But her 96 three-pointers this season ranked sixth in the country. So not only do they have size... Second round, first pick in the second round. Not only do they have size and rebounding with their first two picks, but then they go just, you know what, let's complement that with a shooter. So when, you know, Cardozo and Angel Reese are bagging you down in the paint, if they do get doubled, or I should say when they do get doubled, it's kicked out to Maxwell for the easy bucket. I mean, I think the Chicago Sky had a hell of a draft. And I mean, once again, serious contenders since, I mean, you know, the Candace Parker days. Serious contenders. Hey, man.
Shout out to the Liberty. I'll be rooting for the Liberty. Breonna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu. You know what I'm saying? Those girls, and Leahy. So shout out to my girls over there. But shout out to Ray Cam in the chat. Shout out to Ant in the chat. We will not be reading Ant's comment. If you are tapped in on the YouTube live, you can see it for yourself. Ray Cam talking about Kentucky and piss. I asked Andre, good friend of the show, if he's still a Kentucky fan today, because I just wanted to check the meter, check the water, see what the temperature was. You know what I'm saying? EP and I being a resident Duke fans, you know, We've been through the mud. We you know what I'm saying? It hasn't been too many bad days. I can't complain like that. But we've stuck it out, you know what I'm saying, through our ups and downs. And we went from Coach K to Coach Shire. And it's been a smooth transition. I would hope that, you know, Coach Calipari to insert new coach name is as smooth a transition and Kentucky can continue to be a powerhouse team. But the reality is, you're going to lose a lot of recruits and a lot of guys out of that locker room once a guy like Calipari leaves, and it's uncertain who's going to fill those shoes. So we'll see how that ends up there. Shout out to the woman. Ant is asking in the chat real quick for us to go over the top 10 of the NBA draft. So if I may.
Yeah, totally.
I'll go Caitlin Clark, Cameron Brink, Camila Cardozo, Rakia Jackson, J.C. Sheldon, Aaliyah Edwards, Angel Reese, Alyssa Pili, Carla Liette, and Layla Lacan. So, shout out to them top 10 girls right there. you might be hearing one of those names, you know what I'm saying, on ESPN hey. Soon enough. Season will start around May. Probably got about a month or so to that season starts. And Ant also said, LOL, if you're a Liberty fan, you might as well join the Knicks too.
We're going to get there. We're going to get to the NBA. By the way, Mark Pope, former BYU basketball head coach, is the head coach in Kentucky. I think I said Brian Pope. I apologize. It's Mark Pope. He'll get $5 million for this first year, a bunch of incentives, including one of them being $25,000 if the team has an accumulative GPA of 3.0. So y'all boys better hit the books because that boy want his bread, you heard?
He's going to be on their ass for real.
Facts.
I didn't know they was paying coaches for grades.
That's crazy, right? Like, coach, you want to do my homework for me, bro? And I know you mentioned...
You thought coach cared?
I know you mentioned Duke and us not really seeing too many bad days. I will say we did lose last year's number one recruit, Jaden Shute. He did enter the transfer portal. I had to unfollow him on Instagram today because, you know, it is what it is. I saw the post. I was
But we do got Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, but we do get Cooper Flagg. So, you know, the beginning and the end, as Nas once said, it's the cycle of life. And there was a Kentucky player that decommitted recently. I forgot his name. But the transfer portal is hot right now. I'm interested to see what will come of it in these next coming months. And with that, I want to switch into the NBA playoffs, specifically the play-in. We'll get to the playoffs on the next episode because we want to get through these play-in matchups. Now, the Lakers will stay in New Orleans after a 124-108 win to play the Pelicans in the play-in, a win in which Currency received a signed LeBron James jersey from the GOAT himself. That was a great picture just to see, you know, Currency with the GOAT. You know, two GOATs stand next to each other. It's always a good picture to see.
Acknowledging each other.
Fair. You know what I mean? Now, the Lakers will leave New Orleans, obviously. But June, will they leave with a spot in the Western Conference playoff picture?
This is interesting for the Lakers. They just beat the Pelicans, like you said, on Sunday to get the seventh seed of the play-in right now. But if they win, they got to play the Nuggets. If they lose, they get to play the Thunder. Now, as far as I'm concerned, and all my life, I've known LeBron James to be the biggest competitor, right? A guy who puts winning before anything else. Tanking is not in his vocabulary, and I'm not going to say it is now. I will address the fact that he is in his 21st season, though. His coach is Darvin Ham, and I do believe he wants to make it out of this first round by any means possible. So, no, I'm not going to say that the Lakers are going to go so far to tank, nor do I necessarily – I mean, as a very much outsider, as somebody just walking down the street, of course they should tank. Right. Of course, they should want to play the Thunder instead of the Nuggets in round one. That's more favorable for them. Anthony Davis can eat on the boards and really in the paint. But as a sports media guy, as a passionate sports fan, I'm a competitor myself. You go, you win this game in the play-in, you solidify yourselves as a seventh seed, and you take on a first round matchup. Last year, this was a Western Conference Finals matchup, Denver versus LA. And Denver, I think, beat him in six, and it wasn't much they could do, and there's probably not going to be much they could do this year, but you take the challenge. I saw Mike Greenberg, and this is like the third or fourth time that I'm mentioning Mike Greenberg in a disappointing tone. You know, I've watched Mike and Mike since elementary school, and then I grew up and, you know, just saw him and what he was able to do with the split of Mike and Mike, and now having – being the host of Get Up on ESPN 8 o'clock every morning. I love the show and I love what he brings and what he's always brought to the company and to sports media in general. Much respect to Mike Greenberg. But sometimes he just says some things that I gotta wonder, like, you know, hey, you gonna do it like you do it for TV. I respect it. I get it. If I was getting a bag, I'd probably be a little outlandish myself. But he suggests that the Lakers should tank so that they can play OKC. And me personally, I'm never going to come up here as, you know, taking my craft seriously and tell you that I think a team should tank or lose on purpose. That's not a part of my beliefs. I would never want to lose on purpose. I don't care what the matchup is. So I think the Lakers go into New Orleans tomorrow night, take care of business once again. It's going to be a tough matchup because, one, beating a team two nights in a row or two games in a row is a tough feat. They also aren't playing with, you know, they do have the ability to lose this game and play one more. You know, it's not like they're eliminated. So backs aren't totally against the wall. And Zion Williamson has been a different beast since he's come back from his injury and has gotten a little lighter and been healthier. So I'm interested to see what fight the Pelicans are going to put up. But at the end of the day, it's fuck New Orleans Pelicans for, you know, the scuffle they had with the Miami Heat earlier this season. Najee Marshall, Jose Alvarado. Listen, bro, we don't rock with y'all, bro. Like, go LeBron. And hopefully they beat them and then the Pelicans lose and don't even make the playoffs. That's just me being a little, you know what I'm saying, extra. But, yeah, man, I think the Lakers go out there and take care of business. LeBron James knows what's on the line, man. He wants to play the best and he wants to beat the best to be the best, you know? We got you muted, bro. They can't hear what you want to say.
Damn, I haven't pulled that one in a little minute now. I was saying I'm a little torn because while there are two former Duke players being, you know, Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson on the New Orleans Pelicans, it's just you cannot deny what LeBron does. It's like if he has the slimmest shot, the slimmest chance of at the very least, getting a ticket into the postseason, him taking completely out of the question. Like when there's people saying that, you know, you're the best, second best, whatever player ever to play the game, tanking or losing on purpose,
yeah,
it's just not in the equation. So while I do want to root for two former Duke players, I can't root against LeBron. It doesn't even feel right to be like, nah, I think he's going to lose, you know? I think LeBron comes in there, takes care of business. We might see a LeBron masterclass for him to get into the playoffs. And, you know, the Pelicans, although they were left, they finished their season off on great terms. I think it ends early. I want to kick it over to the chat. You got Ant saying, don't just give them the pass against the Kings or the Warriors, who, if not mistaken, are also in a play-in. And you know what, Ant? Thanks for the transition. And I'm going to keep this short and simple. We got the Warriors. So we got Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green and company versus the Kings, Sabonis, June. Who you got?
Man, last year in a game 7, winner take all, first round matchup, Warriors beat the Kings in Sacramento. 50-point overtime game win by Stephen Curry. I won't say for the last month and a half we've seen that from Steph Curry, that type of output. And a lot of it is due to the fact that he's carried this team, much like how Jalen Brunson has kind of been had to carry the Knicks on the East. But he just has to do a little bit more, you know what I'm saying? And it's tough at this point in his career. De'Aaron Fox remembers. Domantas Sabonis getting stepped on in the chest remembers. It will be bad blood in Sacramento, 10 p.m. start. I like Sacramento to come out and take advantage of a matchup that they – are they favored in this matchup? I would say they probably should be. Nonetheless, I got the Kings. No Kevin Huerter, which really hurts. That's going to hurt them more so for the playoffs. But in this one game setting right here, yeah, I don't see who's going to stop Sabonis from getting that double-double and possibly triple-double. What you got?
Damn, I hate agreeing with you because I like the Kings as well. And it's I don't want to look too far into the future, but I do think, like, one, on the slim chance that the Pelicans do make it out, right? The Pelicans are not a team that OKC wants to see, but, you know, we'll get to that at a later time. I think that's I think it's a major size disadvantage for OKC to go against the Pelicans. And I think it's also a size disadvantage for the Thunder to go against the Kings as well. I think Sabonis will have his day every day of the week. And on the Pelicans, I think that Valanciunas will just eat all day. I get that, you know, Chet is a tall, you know, guy. I'm getting too far into it. Anyway, I got the Kings, man. I do think that the Kings will, you know, get it back in blood this season. I like how they're playing. Sabonis, again, he's a triple-double on any given night. He plays with fluidity. Those kids are hungry. They play quick. Yeah. They run up and down the court. They will tire you out if you are not used to a fast-paced game. And I think that's exactly what will happen. They won't allow the Warriors to play, you know, to get into their sets and play their schemes and, you know, all of those things that they love to do. It's obviously going to be hard to stop Curry. It's going to be hard to stop Steph. You probably will not be able to stop Steph, but if you can limit the other, you know, aspects and assets of the Warriors game and the Warrior players, I do think the Kings do come out on top for this one. Whew. June. 76ers Heat. And we have a healthy Joel Embiid, which is the topic. It's going to be the topic until we see what happens after this game. What kind of difference will a healthy Joel Embiid make in this play-in matchup, and what do the Heat have to do to secure a spot in the Eastern Conference playoff picture, June?
Guts. The Heat need guts, but I will say Nick Nurse is hopeful that Joel Embiid is going to play. Right now, obviously, we know he's going to give it his best. But that means to me that he's not all the way there. And I would have told you that if he was, that would make all the difference in this thing, right? Like, a healthy Joel Embiid with Tyrese Maxey this season, I mean, the man was averaging about 35, 36 points a game, really unstoppable. He's not healthy. And we find him at this point in the season oftentimes not healthy or a little out of gas. And so for me to not be confident that the Miami Heat can knock this team off, not in saying, of course, we're going to do it. You know, we're going to have to take care of business. We're going to have to knock down shots and play good defense. But I'm not scared of the Sixers. You know what I mean? Well-coached team, good guys. Kelly Oubre off the bench. Tyrese Maxey scores 30 points against the Heat the last six matchups. It's real. The Heat also understand what they're up against. We're coming off of two very good wins versus Toronto to end the season, put ourselves in the eighth seed, and we kind of made our bed to where we have to lay in it. I don't know if they like it this way or something, but they operate well in this space. So shout out to, you know, Jimmy Butler getting that Slam magazine cover and interview. I like the words he said. He always says the right thing, but it's put up or shut up at this point, right? And we could lose this game and win the next game and, you know, play the Celtics in the first round. And it's not that we don't want the Celtics in the first round. It's that we kind of really want the Knicks in the first round, you know? Like, if we can get a first-round matchup, New York Knicks, which is not necessarily favorable, like, if you're looking at it, the Knicks are playing great. They're one of the
best. That's the New York resident in you.
It's the realest. It's the realest in me. And Jalen Brunson, what he's done, Eastern Conference Player of the Week, 38 points a game this week. He's scoring like 35 in the last 10 to 12 games. OG Anunoby's back. They're about 20-3 with him this season. I read a lot of stats on the Knicks, and they've got the great numbers. They're going to have to put that product on the court come playoff time, you know. And so I would love to be the challenge. I would love to be the team that represents the 7 seed and playing the 2 seed on the road. It's a Saturday game. I'll be outside if we play in the Knicks. I will be in the streets. I will be in the bars. And so shout out to Sean. Shout out to Brill. But it's pressure. It's all pressure.
Whew. I mean, it's hard to count the Heat out. I know in the last pod I mentioned that the Heat are sort of like, you know, the Chiefs at this point of basketball, where it's like you can never count them out. They did it last year. Like, who's to say that they won't do it again? I think that there is a great saying that my JV basketball coach, you know, once said, and it's a very famous saying, so I'm sure someone else said it, but I'm going to credit it to him. Pressure going to make a diamond, or pressure going to bust a pipe. You're going to break or you're going to shine. And Miami has proven time and time again that they shine under pressure. They thrive under pressure. I've said it before on this pod. Jimmy Butler prefers to be the underdog. He even may prefer to be down 15 points in the second quarter, because that's when the Jimmy Buckets comes out and comes to play. Tyrese Maxey balling, and that's one player we always, I tend to forget to mention one of those players from the Kentucky Dynasty. Tyrese Maxey was definitely on those squads. But it is going to come down to a healthy Joel Embiid. And can Joel Embiid once again, you know, put everything on his back and come out successful? Because he's proven that, you know, he'll play through injury. He'll put the team on his back. But can he come out successful with the dub against this Miami Heat team who has all the chemistry? I don't know. I want to kick it over to the chat. Ant is saying the Heat better win or else they're ducking smoke. But he said more than likely 76ers win. Obviously, you know, that's his cap, his opinion. Yo, Ant is going crazy. Yo, shout out to Ant. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Shout out to Cardi in the chat.
I'm gonna take his jokes off.
No, I feel him. I'm gonna say the Heat do win. At the very least, they will beat Philadelphia. I think they grind it out. I think it'll be a hard-fought game. I'm not sure what the line is. I can probably pull it up, but I'm not 100% sure what it is. But I'll take the Heat. If you give me the Heat with the points, say it's Heat plus 4 or Heat plus 5. I'm going to check on it right now. Take the Heat with the points. I don't even bet basketball anymore at this point in the season. But it says Heat plus 4.5. Wow, I should be a lines maker. Fuck it. What you mean? I would take Heat plus 4.5, and you're going to be a happy camper when the clock strikes 0-0-0-0 at the end of the fourth quarter. And the last playing match that we do have, not my favorite.
I'll take the Bulls. You don't got to ask me, bro. I'll take the Bulls.
Not my favorite.
They went to overtime versus Knicks. I mean,
Hawks, Bulls. I definitely have the Bulls as well. I'm an Atlanta resident. But it's funny enough, no one's talking about – people are talking more about the Falcons than they're talking about the Hawks at this point. I take the Bulls, but the Bulls will also have an early exit out of the playoffs because, I mean, I'm sorry, Ray Cam, if you're still in here. But you couldn't get far, and you won't get far.
Yeah, we should see a sweep if Boston plays the Bulls.
Damn, I pulled that out of my ass, and that is a Kanye song, and he's from Chicago. So, hey, what you wouldn't get far, and I don't think you're going to get far in these NBA playoffs. Junior, you got anything else on these play-in matchups?
Well, Ant said LeBron is going to lose to the Pelicans and then to the Warriors. So that's going against us thinking that he'll beat the Pelicans and that the Kings will beat the Warriors. So that's something to keep an eye on. And then Ant also says that the Hawks are going to 20-piece the Bulls. And, I'm interested to see how that's
Dubsky, goes out, so. A Dubsky on the road, if I'm not mistaken.
By either side, but... we'll see.
That line is Chicago minus 3.5. So, whew, books are saying it's going to be a close game. A Dubsky on the head top on the road in the, forgot what arena that is, the United Center. State How could Farm? I?
No, I forgot.
That's United the United. Center. Yeah, the United Center, the house that Jordan built. Oh, man. We're in for an amazing NBA playoffs. I want to kick it over to some MLB updates, man. Spencer Strider is out for the season in Atlanta. Will have reconstruction surgery on his shoulder, which I should say he's had Tommy John surgery on once in college. You know, they say you don't come back from two Tommy Johns. It's interesting that they don't want to just perform another Tommy John. They want to try to, you know, fix it, essentially reconstruct his shoulder. He'll be out for the season. June, how big of a loss is this for the Braves, man?
It's huge. Spencer Strider is a great pitcher. I mean, this is a team that has dreams and aspirations of going far, championship talk, you know, winning the division, facing guys in that division like Bryce Harper, Realmuto, and, you know, I don't know, man. The Braves are going to be okay, I think. You know what I mean? For sure. They'll figure it out. But you lose a guy. I mean, you lose a guy like Spencer Strider. What do you expect? You know what I'm saying? You're going to take a hit. You're going to take a hit. And it's going to be a next man up thing. It's very early in the season for you guys to be losing, you know what I'm saying, a great pitcher like him. Whereas the Yankees have started hot. They have Gerrit Cole, who's only going to come back. You know what I'm saying? You lose this guy for the season, you'll feel this in August. You'll feel this in July when you need quality wins and you can't, you know what I'm saying, get those dubs because you don't have that guy out there. But ultimately, is it something they can get past and look past and play through? Of course. It's just going to make it that much tougher.
Yeah, 1,000%. I mean, with the likes of, you know, Olsen, you still got Morton in your bullpen lineup. You still got Freed in your bullpen lineup. You got some monsters in your bullpen. You got some monsters in your batting lineup. I definitely think that this is something that they can get past. But absolutely, come, you know, August, September, you know, July, August, September, they're gonna feel it. The bullpen, they're gonna feel, you know, stretched out paws. It's gonna affect them, but I do think ultimately they are a powerhouse in the National League. And while it will affect them, I don't think that they missed the playoffs because of it or anything like that. But it's definitely gonna take an extra oomph, as they say, an extra effort from the, you know, remaining cast. And the other update I wanted to give out of the MLB, man, Joe Musgrove, bro. I mean, this guy pitched a no-hitter two seasons ago. Last season, he was a quality starter. And this season, not so much and not so fast, as they say. I mean, he's had four starts. He gave up five runs in the opener against Los Angeles Dodgers, four runs against the Giants, a run against St. Louis, four runs against Chicago, and then today, he gave up three in the second inning to Milwaukee, who, granted, Milwaukee, ballers, obviously. I took the Padres today, first five on the money line at minus 110, put, you know, a little over a unit on it, just because I said, you know what? Joey Musgrove's going to come out, bounce back, sit some batters down. The Milwaukee Brewers did not have Christian Yelich in the lineup. He's out right now with a back strain. So I said, oh, that's all I need to see. If Yelich isn't in the lineup, Musgrove's definitely going to sit some people down. And he did it. Yeah. He absolutely did not sit batters down. He absolutely did not sit any batters down. I want to pull up. Wrong, oh, man. Yeah, I mean, the Padres did win 7-3, which is also impressive because they flew overnight last night from playing the Dodgers. The Brewers only flew from Baltimore to Milwaukee. San Diego had to fly from the West Coast over to the Midwest. So on literally no rest, they come out and pull a dub. But, yeah, I mean, my man's gave up three runs in the first five innings. Granted, no, they didn't score again, they being Milwaukee, but three runs in the first five. While you gave up seven hits, four walks, three Ks, and a home run, 6.29 ERA from the night, man. Joe Musgrove is a shell of himself, and I was really hoping he would bounce back tonight. He didn't, but shout out to the run support that the Padres did give him. I'm not going to lie, he might be on auto fade alert his next start because he just does not.
Patrick Corbin vibes.
Oh, we don't want to say it. Say it ain't so. But it could be a situation where Joey
Patrick
Musgrove,
Corbin.
And you know what? It kind of looked. When the pitch clock rule came out, you know, before last season, I was totally against it. Once I saw it implemented in real time, I was like, oh, this is nice. This is cool. I did not think that the pitch clock was really the main reason why pitchers are you know, being injured and being put on the IL and things like that. But seeing him pitch today, man, he looked very uncomfortable. Like I said, he's a shell of himself. I hope he gets it together. But if he doesn't, I'm looking to make some cash off of him. June, you got any other MLB updates before we get out of here? I know you had Boston Strong Day today that didn't really turn out the best. But do you have any other?
Weren't too strong, brother. It's sad, man. Like, we got booed at home. We haven't won a game at home. We've lost four straight. We got shut out today. A week ago, Trevor Story goes down for the season. And in the past week, our defense has committed 12 errors, accounting for 16 unearned runs. 16 total errors on the season are tied for most in the MLB. We haven't won a game when we have an error. And, you know, it's a young team. It's a young defense who can't figure it out right now, but it's still exciting. It's just, you know, you got to clean this up. I mean, we've been getting booed at home for the last week. Never a good feeling. So definitely something to keep an eye on, our defense. And then I did want to shout out to John Sterling, you know, longtime Yankees play-by-play announcer. Always had a good, you know, nickname or quirky saying for the next guy up at bat. This guy did it for over 30 years. I have nothing but respect for him. So did want to shout him out there. I also, you and I know, we do not end here on this podcast with any Yankees talk. So I'm going to shift gears here, and I'm going to say shout out to Aubrey Graham, Drake. You know, they hating on him from West, from East, from South, from North, from Compton, from Miami, from Toronto, man, from Atlanta. And he just loaded a clip and let him have it. But I respect all sides here. I respect, you know, shout out to Rick Ross putting his shit together and, you know, going at him. Future and Metro trying their thing with The Weeknd and Kendrick Lamar features. J. Cole had his little in and out, and Drake just came through with like, all right, look, this ain't even a half. So y'all could keep playing this game if you want to. Shout out to Drake, man.
Word up, word up. Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody is all hands on this rap beef. It's very entertaining to me. You know, it's good for hip hop. It's entertaining. It's fun. Shout out to Ricky Rose. Shout out to, you know, Aubrey, Drake, Graham. Keep entertaining us. Keep dropping great music. And we'll keep listening it. We'll keep discussing. And you know what? The ATS Pod will keep giving you the real in sports. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, as we round about this 44-minute mark, and my face is frozen on a very embarrassing screen.
Yeah, so I was going to say, bro, if you
notice, I hope that nobody takes... I'm trying to wrap this up so no one gets me, no one catches me slipping. But this has been your Monday night ATS Pod episode. If you tapped in with the live, thank you so much. We appreciate you tapping in, taking time out of your busy Monday evening to tap in with us. If you're listening after the fact on your streaming platforms, thank you for taking time out of your day. I'll be back in South Florida these next 2 days, but we will.
Hey. I think we lost audio too, man, but it is what it is. We appreciate y'all.